online and you need to print off the Ezekiel Bible study, I want to make your attention, bring your attention to let you know that tonight's handout is under week 19. It may say January the 17th, but what you see there is what that you need to print off if you'd like to follow along this evening for the study on the book of Ezekiel. If you're here this evening and you have not picked one up, they're there in the foyer as normal, and we will continue our study looking at our 19th lesson of individual responsibility. Individual responsibility, looking at the first half of Ezekiel chapter 18. We're going to move right into it and not look at any type of recap. So if you have your Bible, as I say, we'll be in Ezekiel chapter 18, looking at individual responsibility. Responsibility is one of the major themes of these four chapters that we are going to be looking at over the next few weeks. The Jewish exiles in Babylon were blaming their ancestors for the terrible judgment that had befallen them. So Ezekiel explained that God judges people individually for their own sins and not for somebody else's. We looked at that this evening in chapter 18. He then pointed out that the Jewish leaders were responsible for the foolish decisions they had made, chapter 19, and that the nation itself had a long history of responsibility, which will ultimately be chapter 20. In chapter 21, we will see that Ezekiel, the prophet, reminded his listeners that the Lord Jehovah also had the responsibility to be faithful to himself and his covenant with the Jews, and this is why he had chastened them. By dealing with the subject of personal and national responsibility, Ezekiel was able to answer the frequent complaints of the people that the Lord was treating them unfairly. And let's be honest, most of you would agree that responsibility and accountability are needed themes in our own day today. Irresponsibility is rampant, and very few people are willing to take the blame for the wrongs that they have committed and mistakes that they have made. After our first parent sinned, each and every one of us are descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent, but God still held Adam and Eve responsible for their disobedience and punished them accordingly. The Jews in Ezekiel's day were sure that God would deliver them and spare them because of who God was and because Israel was God's chosen people and he had a covenant relationship with them. But they forgot that privilege also brings responsibility, and I think each and every one of us could agree with that this evening. They had the greatest law ever given to a nation, but they disobeyed it. They had the strongest God that could have ever led them rather than a pagan that was leading the other nations. The Lord gave them a wonderful land for their home, gave them plenty of things to eat, but they defiled it with idolatry. Rather than remaining faithful to what God had called them to do, they were focusing on the idols of the land and the direction of the pagan nations around them, and they violated the terms of their divine covenant and then were shocked when the Lord himself had to obey the covenant and discipline them. This entire chapter is our main point this evening, verses 1 through 32 of chapter 18, which is simply individual responsibility. Individual responsibility. As you read this chapter, you find the prophet answering the erroneous statements that the Jewish exiles were making about God and their difficult situations. I want to bring your attention to a few of those verses. First is Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 2. What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? Or Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19, yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. A couple of more that I want to bring to your attention. Verse 25 of Ezekiel 18. Yet say ye, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O Israel, O house of Israel, it is not my way equal, or not your ways unequal? And then finally, verse 29, "Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal?" God knew what his people were saying, and so did the prophet. Ignoring the inspired word of God, the people were building their case on a popular proverb that simply says, "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." In other words, our fathers have sinned, and we, the children, are being punished for it. Their philosophy was a kind of irresponsible. No matter what we do, they argued and tried to reason with the Lord, we still have to suffer because of what the older generation did. This is not the only one who preached this, being Ezekiel. Jeremiah preached it as well. The prophet Jeremiah quoted the same familiar proverb and preached the same truth that Ezekiel preached, which was simply, God deals with us as individuals and punishes each of us justly for what we do. What we see Ezekiel preaching and Jeremiah preach and taught, that God deals with us as individuals and punishes each of us justly for what we do. The reference there is Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 29. "In those days they shall no more. The fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge." He is just and a righteous God who shows no partiality. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." If God himself withholds a punishment, it is only because of his grace and merciful long-suffering. But the question is this evening, is where did Ezekiel's listeners get the idea that God punished the children of their fathers? This philosophy came from two sources that I would like to bring to your attention, and hopefully to help you make sense of Ezekiel chapter 18. The first source, a misinterpretation of what the Lord had said in his law, that he visited the sins of the father upon the children. A misinterpretation of what the Lord had said in his law, that he visited the sins of the fathers upon the children. A couple of references there to help you know where that's coming from is Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. It says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me." Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation." Where did Ezekiel's listeners get the idea that God punished the children of their fathers? First, a misinterpretation of what the Lord had said in his law, that he visited the sins of the fathers upon the children. And the second thing I want to bring to your attention is simply the Jewish idea of the oneness of the nation. The Jewish idea of the oneness of the nation. According to the law of Moses, innocent animals could suffer and die for guilty sinners, but nowhere was it taught that innocent people should be punished for sins committed by guilty people. In fact, Moses himself taught the opposite in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16. "The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for their fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin." If you have your Bible, look with me in Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 3. "As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled the neighbor's wife, neither hath neared to the menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man. Finally, verse 9, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. There's a warning that I want to bring to your attention to help make sense of the first 8 verses that we just read. The warning in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, implies that the Lord punishes the children if they commit the sins their fathers committed. The warning in Exodus 20, verse 5, and Exodus 34, 6, and 7 implies that the Lord punishes the children if they commit the sins their fathers committed. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the fourth and third and fourth generation. Furthermore, God also promised to bless those children who followed godly examples and obeyed the Lord. So he gave promises of blessing as well as warning of a chastening. As far as the solidarity of the nation, the Jewish people did consider themselves one people who descended from Abraham. Since each tribe descended from one of the sons of Jacob, Israel claimed both national and tribal solidarity. If only one Israelite disobeyed the Lord, it was as though all Israel had sinned, as in the case of Achan in Joshua 7. Knowing this fact, the Jewish people concluded the Babylonian invasion and the nation's exile were the consequences of the sins of the previous generation. Ezekiel answered the people's objection and explained the truth about God's judgment and the justice by sharing some hypothetical situations and drawing some conclusions. As we look at individual responsibility, in verses 5 through 18, which is our point for this evening, it's simply, you cannot blame your ancestors. You cannot blame your ancestors. The prophet refutes the proverb by imagining a situation involving three men in a family, people with whom his listeners certainly could identify. Look with me in verse 5 of our text this evening of Ezekiel chapter 18. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, first we see that he, Ezekiel, began with a righteous father. Ezekiel began with a righteous father, a hypothetical Jew who kept God's law and therefore was just and would not die because of sin. He began with a righteous father, a hypothetical Jew who kept God's law and therefore was just and would not die because of sin. Verse 4 of Ezekiel 18, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 9, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Death is a subject that is mentioned frequently in this chapter. There's multiple references there, and as you study and we walk through this chapter, if you read ahead, you will see that this particular death refers to physical death and not necessarily eternal judgment. Although any Jew who did not exercise a saving faith in the Lord would not be accepted by him. Whether people lived under the old covenant or the new covenant, before or since the cross, the way of salvation is the same faith in the Lord that is evidenced by a new life of obedience. Whether people lived under the old covenant or the new covenant, before or since the cross, the way of salvation is the same faith in the Lord that is evidenced by a new life of obedience. A couple of references there is one that I referenced this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Or Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In describing this man, Ezekiel named 8 negative offenses along with 8 positive virtues. The negative sins this man avoids are attending idol feast in the high places, and worshiping idols in his own land, committing adultery, incurring ritual uncleanness, exploiting people and using violence to rob people, and finally lending money with interest and demanding a profit. The negative sins this man avoids are attending idol feast in the high places and worshiping idols in his own land, committing adultery, incurring ritual uncleanness, exploiting people and using violence to rob people, and lending money with interest and demanding a profit. On the other side, we see the 8 positive virtues. The 8 positive virtues are returning a debtor's pledge, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, living justly and promoting justice, living by God's statutes and obeying his ordinances, and living with integrity. Ben, if you'll leave that on the screen for a moment, I would appreciate that. In describing this man, Ezekiel named 8 negative offenses along with 8 positive virtues. The negative sins that this man avoids are attending idol feasts in the high places and worshiping idols in his own land, committing adultery, incurring ritual uncleanness, exploiting people and using violence to rob people, lending money with interest and demanding a profit. The 8 positive virtues are returning a debtor's pledge, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, living justly and promoting justice, living by God's statutes and obeying his ordinances, and living with integrity. Look with me in verse 8. and 9 of our text this evening of Ezekiel 18. He that hath not given forth usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. The offenses and virtues are mentioned in the law of Moses, but the man acted as he did because he loved God and had a new heart and a new spirit within him. Verse 31 of Ezekiel 18. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? He put God first in his life, treated people with kindness, and treated people with mercy, and used his material wealth to honor God and to serve others. As evidence of his faith in Jehovah, he obeyed the two great commandments of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor, which Jesus taught in Matthew 22. We see the righteous father as picture number one. The second picture we see here that Ezekiel is giving to the nation of Israel who could understand is the righteous father had an unrighteous son. The righteous father had an unrighteous son about whom Ezekiel had nothing good to say. Verse 10. If he begot a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of those things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, and hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. The righteous father had an unrighteous son about who Ezekiel had nothing good to say. He listed 10 offenses. He listed 10 offenses against God's law. 3 of them are capital crimes. Verse 10, murder. Verses 11 and 12, idolatry. And verse 11, adultery. He listed 10 offenses against God's law. 3 of them, capital crimes. Murder in verse 10. Idolatry found in verses 11 and 12. And adultery found in verse 11. This godless son exploited the poor and took interest from his debtors. He never returned the debtor's pledge that was mentioned or will be mentioned in Exodus, or was mentioned in Exodus 22, and did all he could do to make a profit, even if it meant hurting the people that was around him and defying God's law. The verdict is clear based on the scripture. He shall surely die. Image number one, a righteous father. Image number 2, an unrighteous son. And the last thing I'd like for you to think about this evening under individual responsibility is the third character in this drama was a righteous grandson. A righteous grandson. Verse 14, and now, lo, if he begot a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received a usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die. For the iniquity of his father he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even shall die in his iniquity. How strange that the godly man found in verses 5 through 9 should raise an ungodly son who himself had a godly son. The grandson followed the righteous example of his grandfather and not the evil example of his father. King Hezekiah was a godly father whose son Manasseh was evil, although late in life he did repent. Manasseh's son Amon was evil, but he fathered godly King Josiah. The way of the Lord are sometimes strange. Where sin increased, grace increases all the more. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might be abound, but where sin abounded, grace it did much more abound. Five godly character traits are mentioned about this third man, and I would like for you to think about these as we conclude this evening's message. The four that are lacking are ritual cleanness, living justly and promoting justice, and acting with integrity. The four that are lacking are ritual cleanness. Verse 6, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come to a menstruous woman. Ritual cleanness, living justly and promoting justice. Verse 8, he that hath not given forth usury, neither hath taken increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. And finally, acting with integrity. This does not mean that this individual was actually guilty of these sins, because the first list does not mention every possible law in the Mosaic Code. The point is that the third man, the grandson, resisted the bad influence in the home and obeyed the Lord in spite of his father's bad example. The point is that the third man, the grandson, resisted the bad influence in the home and obeyed the Lord in spite of his father's bad example. The Lord did not kill the grandson because of his father's sins, or even spare him because of his grandfather's righteousness, but dealt with the man on the basis of his own faith and righteousness. And that is what we need to understand this evening, that we all have sins. We all fall short of the glory of God, is what the Scripture says. But there will come a time that you will stand before the Lord and no one else will be there, regardless of what people may say, regardless of the things that you have done or not done. You will stand before the Savior of the Lord and give an answer for your own life, for your own sins. And may we be ready for that day that we meet Jesus Christ face to face and can thank Him for His forgiveness and know that He ultimately is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. God, we thank You. God, I thank You for the book of Ezekiel. God, I thank You for what You've shown me in my life during the time that we are studying this book. God, I pray that each and every one of us will understand the importance of knowing that we'll have to give an account for what we've done. God, that You're faithful, that You're forgiving, that You're just. And God, my prayer is that we know that no one else matters when the time comes that we stand before You, God, but we thank You for Your forgiveness. We thank You for Your love, we thank You for Your grace, and we thank You for Your mercy. God, may we know that You are faithful, and God, may we be found righteous in Your sight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.